You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There's no better way to understand where we're headed than to understand where we've been, in other words, through history. Let's see what history might tell us about Donald Trump's victory and the turmoil and division that's been left in the wake of this long, tough campaign. Here with us is historian Gleaves Whitney, director of Grand Valley State University's Hauenstein Center for Presidential Studies. Gleaves, you and I talked last spring about the very blunt, sometimes coarse tone that Mr. Trump took in the campaign, and there was certainly more of that as the months rolled on. And yet, here we are today talking about President-elect Donald Trump. So that tone helped him win the White House.
Well, it really did. I mean, the country is in a populist mood, and the Republican Party, which used to be very much a bifurcated party, which is to say that you had your elites who would read National Review and read T.S. Eliot poetry, and they were part of the conservative intellectual movement, and then you had the populists. And there have been people in the past, such as Ronald Reagan, who were able to bring those two together. Well, the elites got left out in the cold in this election, and the populace really won the day. And Donald Trump, I think, has demonstrated he was in tune. He has a genius for reaching these folks, and they came out for him. One of the most interesting techniques, one of the most interesting things that we learned after this election as we started to analyze what happened, is that we kept saying, oh, well, Hillary Clinton had a ground game. You know, she had all these people who could canvass the neighborhoods and make the phone calls. They had a traditional campaign structure out there. Trump does not have that, therefore he's going to lose. It might be just by small margins, but he will lose. Well, of course, what they weren't factoring in is we had all of these rallies. We saw the rallies. The rallies brought people who were going to go home and tell somebody to get out and vote, or two people to get out and vote. And then all of a sudden, that rally of 10,000 people turned into 30,000 voters. And that's what did it.
In what ways, Gleaves, do you think Donald Trump is totally shattering the presidential mold? Certainly, as you say, his campaign was totally unconventional. What about the man himself?
Well, it's interesting, Cindy. This is the first president we've had who comes from a business background, who did not serve either in government or in the military, to win the White House. So he's remarkable in that sense. He really does reflect a mass culture that we have not seen in a candidate before. I mean, contrast him with Bill Clinton, say, who was elected in 1992 and can go on Arsenio Hall and play a musical instrument and really wow a young crowd. So who had a populist touch, to be sure, but wasn't so much part of popular culture because, of course, President Clinton had been a governor of Arkansas for many years. So this is a new phenomenon we're seeing in American history, and I'm trying to think. There are aspects of Donald Trump that remind us of other people. We think maybe of Andrew Jackson, who won the popular vote in 1824 and then gets the presidency outright in 1828, 1832, passes it on to Van Buren in 1836. Jackson was very much a man of the people. And we've all, I think, heard the stories now of how Jackson's inauguration got totally out of control, where the masses of people, the new Democratic man, so to speak, was coming in, crashing the party, stealing the silverware, people running out of the window, you know, climbing out of the windows with things tucked under their arms. I mean, it was a mob scene in the Jackson White House of 1828 in that first inauguration. So we see maybe a little bit of an echo of the populism in an Andrew Jackson. Then you see a little bit of the populism in a character like Huey Long in the 1930s, who was going to challenge Franklin Roosevelt for the presidency. Huey Long, of course, is assassinated and does not have the opportunity to make that run for the White House that everyone thought he would. But he also had the common touch. He had the ability to see what the anxieties, the fears were of a common person, the forgotten man, so-called. So there are some precedents that near Donald Trump, but Donald Trump is sui generis.
Okay, for those who didn't take Latin?
Oh, unique.
There you go. So in other words, we've never had a more outsider-y outsider.
That's right. I think that that's true. Donald Trump is such an interesting character, though, also, because let's look at his political past. To the extent that he has been involved in politics, he's been a Democrat for most of his life. He certainly has contributed to a lot of Democrats. We've been talking about Bill Clinton's presidency. He contributed to the first Clinton, who was on the national stage politically. He has contributed to Nancy Pelosi and her political campaign. So this is a man who is really hard to nail down exactly what he is. He's very chameleon-like. He's very, I think, very savvy in making his way from group to group to group, depending on what he needs to see done. There's really a lot we just don't know.
One thing we do know, Gleaves, is the division and the rancor that we saw during the campaign has certainly something we're dealing with now in the aftermath of the election. And I'm wondering, I'm thinking back to 1968 when Richard Nixon beat Hubert Humphrey. Did we have that kind of division? Were we that badly divided and hurting?
We have had serious division, and you allude to 1968. The Chicago Convention for the Democrats was a cultural marker for a nation deeply divided by the Vietnam War, civil rights, the resentment against civil rights. The new environmental movement is just beginning to take off that year. You have a lot of forces that are tearing the country apart, and then the silent majority, of course, are the ones who come in and give a pretty strong victory to Richard Nixon, the Republican, over the Democratic nominee Hubert Humphrey. And Nixon is going to claim that he is the president who can bring us together. And one of the ways he does that is to make earnest efforts to end the Vietnam War, which had become now a bipartisan issue. How do you get out of this war with anything that's resembling a victory? It was hard to do, but it was enough to give Richard Nixon such a boost that he was able to come in on a landslide in 1972 for a second term. But then we know what happened after that with Watergate,
yes,
and he has to resign in shame. But these things happen with people. When we are very divided, we're looking for somebody who maybe has that magic touch, who has the finger on our pulse as a people. A lot of people have said, we're hungering for that, but Donald Trump's not the best instrument to do it. He's the messenger that maybe we didn't want. Time will have to tell. I thought that Secretary Clinton was very gracious in her concession speech on Wednesday, last Wednesday, when she said, you know, we owe him a good listen and the opportunity to lead. We owe him that. See what he does. Look at the first 100 days. What's the tone that is set? We might be surprised. I might be surprised as a presidential observer. He might reach out to Democrats on a number of potential proposals that I can think of where there's a lot of common ground, and thus prove not only to be a populist with a lot of the people who were attracted to him, but even in Washington, a unifier of sorts if he plays his cards right. I could see Trump, for example, saying, look, we need to do more to build up our infrastructure. I'm a builder. In fact, I heard him compared to Theodore Roosevelt already. He's going to be thinking big. How does he make the presidency big again and transform this nation in a way that both Republicans and Democrats, that all the people will appreciate? Well, Democrats, of course, have wanted great spending bills on infrastructure, and I think this might be a year where Republicans will go along with it, too. I also think that Donald Trump has a natural aversion, it seems, to getting too far out there in the world and his foreign policy. I think a lot of Democrats who traditionally were called doves share that with him. He might be able to find common ground and be able to say, you know, maybe we don't want to get involved in that part of the world. Let's let our allies do it or see what happens. Some Democrats have been very concerned about Obamacare. The hikes, the Affordable Care Act, did not deliver all that was promised. Trump is the kind of guy he likes. You know, he's not ideological. You can't really say he's a Republican or a Democrat. You can't say he's a conservative or a progressive. He likes just getting things done. He loves the negotiating process. So I think, sort of in the manner of T.R., Theodore Roosevelt at the beginning of the 1900s, I'm hoping that Donald Trump will reach out on both sides of the aisle, say, we've got to turn over a new page. There are a lot of issues that this country faces in our foreign policy, in our domestic, our debt, our national debt, for example. These are the kinds of finance things he might be attracted to attack and form a bipartisan movement to attack. We're just hoping. We'll have to wait and see.
Gleaves Whitney, Director of Grand Valley State University's Hauenstein Center for Presidential Studies. Thanks so much for speaking with us, Gleaves.
Thank you very much.